Hello and welcome to another episode and another podcast of A Presence on Your Journey, a podcast of Community Autism Resources. And I'm very excited about today's guests. They are members of the Fall River National Little League, and they're here to discuss an event that'll be coming up in July, the Batting for a Cause tournament. And I'd like to kind of start by introducing all of our guests, because we have a bigger than usual group for this podcast. So before I turn it over to the rest of the league, to my right, we have Crystal Medeiros, who is a member of the Community Autism Resources staff.
Hi.
Then we'll go around, starting to my left, to the rest of the team.
Hi, I'm Richard Todd. I'm the field maintenance down at Fall River National.
Hi, I'm Nathan Durand. I've been a player for 7 years.
Hi, my name's Tom Roussel. I've been a coach for 15 years, and I'm the director of the tournament.
Hi, I'm Jesse Durand. I'm the equipment manager down at the field, and I've been a parent for 7 years.
So we'll be hearing all of them throughout the podcast. I'd like to start off by asking, what is the Fall River National Little League, and when did it get started?
I'll take that. Fall River National Little League was established in 1952. It's in the Flint section of Fall River, so we're over 60 years old, and we're just trying to provide, you know, a fun, healthy place for boys and girls in our community to play ball.
And just as a follow-up, how long do your seasons run approximately?
Well, we start, our opening day is usually in April, and our season's actually winding down about now. You know, we're going to start our playoffs this week and next, and then we're into tournament season and other things, family vacations. We finally get to do that.
Now we're going to get into the specifics of an event in July. What is the Batting for a Cause tournament, and when is it this year?
All right. The tournament is something we started almost 7 years ago with the help of Crystal, you know, a way to give back to the community and the communities that we play baseball in and where the kids are from.
And do you choose a charity each year, or how did you choose Community Autism Resources? What was the process that went into that decision?
Okay, 7 years ago, I actually started at Fall River National Little League. The backstory to how Community Autism Resources was chosen as their charity to benefit from the tournament was that a past board member is a vendor for my mom's business, and he had approached her and asked her if she would be willing to make a sponsorship to the Little League, and she said yes. So when she told me that she was going to sponsor the Little League, right away I asked if it would be possible to do something to raise awareness for autism, whether it be like a patch on the kids' jerseys or a pin or something, just so that way the autism ribbon would be noticeable. Maybe kids would start asking questions about, you know, what does that represent or what does that mean? So we went 7 years ago to a board meeting before the start of their tournament, and I had asked, you know, whether or not that would be something that they would be willing to do, and they kind of ran in a totally different direction with what I had asked for. I mean, they initially started with little autism ribbon stickers on the back of the kids' batting helmets. They purchased some autism awareness flags to fly at their games. And then this whole tournament kind of came about that way. So that's pretty much where the whole idea came from. But what my initial thought of what would happen, actually something totally bigger than I ever imagined would happen. And here we are 7 years later.
So this is the 7th annual Batting for a Cause tournament for Community Autism Resources?
Yes. In the first 2 years, we did partner with the Katie Brown Educational Program. Mm-hmm. They were a part of it the first 2 years, and then the last 5 has just been Community Autism Resources.
How much has been raised in the past from the Cause tournament?
I don't have the exact total in front of me, but I know in the last 6 years that the tournament has raised over $18,000 for Community Autism Resources.
We're going to get into some of the mechanics of this tournament, starting with how does one go about registering and what is the entrance fee?
Okay, the entrance fee is $350 per team. To register, you can email me at troussel, R-O-U-S-S-E-L, at frmll.com. You can text me or call me. My cell phone number is 774-644-4930. It's designed for 12 and under age group, so they have to be 12 or less as of April 30th of 2016 to enter the tournament. It can be an all-star team, a regular season team, just as long as the kids are, you know, 12 as of April 30th.
Do you have a drop-dead deadline?
I would say 2 weeks before the start of the tournament would be my drop-dead, so that would be about July 14th.
And how many teams have signed up, and is there still time for other teams to sign up?
There is time. We have approximately 8 teams for the B division right now, so we could take another 4, you know, in the next few weeks. As far as the teams that we have entered so far for the B tournament, we have Barbara National, Taunton West, Plainville, Ty Cobb Little League from Worcester, Portsmouth, Rhode Island, Fall River American, plays their games at North Park, Sybil, which is Swansea Independent Baseball League, Fall River Federal, which plays their games over at Kennedy Park, and also has some interest from Tiverton Little League. As far as the A division, we have 6, Taunton West, sending an A team, Sybil, Swansea Independent Baseball League, Portsmouth, Darlington American, which is out of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Riverside Little League from Riverside, Rhode Island, and Wareham is also interested in the tournament as of right now. So we could still take another 6. Just hope to make it an even number because that's the only way it works. So 8, 10, 12, something like that. So we still have time and we still have spots available.
So you have teams from other leagues entirely. This is not just teams from the Fall River National League.
Right. Team as far as almost in Connecticut last year from Charahoe Little League, which is out way close to the Connecticut border. They came last year, and they're also interested again this year.
The teams are coming from all over Mass and Rhode Island, so we have a pretty far reach as far as, you know, who wants to come to the tournament, who's participated. Like Tom said, we had Charahoe last year, which is pretty close to the Connecticut line there, so it's pretty far spread.
Can you go into some of the detail regarding some of the rules of the tournament? How does it work?
Well, all the teams are guaranteed to play 3 games. You know, some tournaments are double elimination or single elimination, but what we do is we guarantee everybody to play 3 games. We separate the teams into pools, so you play all the teams in your own pool. So if there's 4 teams in a pool, you'll play the other 3 teams 1 time each. And then the top 2 teams from each pool, so 4 teams make it to the semifinals and the finals.
And there are 2 weekends involved. So how do the mechanics of that work?
Well, it's actually 2 separate tournaments. We have one tournament for an A division team, which is very competitive, you know, highly skilled teams that want to come and play some other very competitive teams. And we also have, we kind of stretched it out last year, was the first time we had a B tournament. And that's for, like, kind of, you know, not as skilled teams, to be honest. Some leagues are so big that they have A teams, they have B teams, they, you know, they select B teams every year. So this is kind of for a less skilled team or a team that, you know, might just have one all-star team, but it's just not as competitive.
So would it be like the A division tournament would be one weekend and the B division would be the next?
That is true.
Okay.
We're doing it.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The opposite of that. I mean, the B tournament we're running first on July 28th through the 31st. And then the following weekend we're running the A tournament from August 4th through the 7th. As far as some of the rules of the tournament I wanted to get into, we have some different pitching rules where a pitcher can only pitch 6 innings for the entire tournament. And we use continuous batting order. The reason we do that is we want everybody in the game. So even if you're not in the field, you're in the batting order. So if you have 13 kids on your team, 13 kids are in the lineup, 13 kids are batting.
So there's no elimination tournament to try to determine the best batters or whatever. It's just everybody gets a shot at it.
Right.
Do you have champions and runners-up? And if you do, are they by division? Like, do you have, say, for example, the B division champions are crowned the weekend of the 28th, and the A division would be the following weekend? Or do you total the both weekends up, or how does that work?
No, they're both separate. They're on their own. You know, we start out with 8 teams or 10 teams or 12 teams. And they battle it out, and the top 4 teams make it to the semifinals, and then the winners of those 2 games play in the finals. We do award trophies to the champion and the runner-up, so we each get trophies. We have a nice ceremony at the end where we bring Crystal up, and she might shed a tear or 2.
Oh, wow, more than that.
And we kind of announce how much all the teams have helped us raise, and you know, we talk about what the card does and how they help people.
And this will happen in both the A weekend, the B weekend, correct?
Yes.
So what about rain delays, and what if there's a rain out? Not that I'm trying to...
We try not to think about that.
that's a headache if that happens.
I had to throw in a trick question there.
You know, we have to kind of work it out with the teams if they can come during the week. You know, or they could be entered in another tournament. It's a tough situation. We hope that doesn't happen, but it could. We might have to go to the weekend of the 11th or something, because if it happens in the first weekend in July, you might have to push it out 2 weeks. Who knows? We just hope that doesn't happen, but we have contingencies if it does.
In looking at your outstanding website, which we will give you the information about, or have you guys give the information afterwards, there were some great concession foods mentioned on the website. So are you going to have concession stands, and what does that look like?
Hi. So our concession stand serves some delicious food down there at Dumont, Fall River National Little League. So we, you know, have the typical cheeseburgers and hot dogs, some chili cheese fries. We have onion rings. There will be some homemade type snacks of that nature as well. Some chorizo and pepper sandwiches and possibly some barbecue chicken sandwiches as well. We try to pull in a couple of extra little yummy snacks for the tournament time. There's people that come that aren't used to or request like the typical Fall River style food, like a chorizo and pepper sandwich. It really brightens their tournament day to have one.
What about chow mein?
We haven't pulled in the chow mein yet, I have to say, but we certainly could. It's right down the road from us.
And I understand that in between the games, there's going to be music. Can you tell us a bit about that?
In between the games, we play various types of music. We also play music in between the innings. We get the kids all excited, pumped up when they come out onto the field. We play a lot of heavy metal.
Now, is this a live band, or is this like the big stadiums where they have it in between the innings? They have from the public address announcer or from the public address system.
Yep, absolutely.
So we have want to say piped in, but
we have DJ equipment set up on each field. So we have three fields set up. We have DJ equipment that will pump in the music. We get the kids excited in between the innings. We slowly lower the volume down to get them ready. We also do announcing when they come up to the plate. So each field will have an announcer, and they will announce the kids as they come to the plate. A lot of teams now, when they come to the tournaments, they have nicknames ready. Best nickname we've ever heard down at Dumont in the 7 years of the tournament has been the Zimodal Dragon.
Yes.
That was a person's name?
That was his nickname.
The player's nickname.
So when that player came up to the plate, we would announce his first name, his nickname, then his last name. So we'll announce, you know, a lot of things, you know, now batting number 18, the Zimodal Dragon.
Now, when I've been to Fenway Park, I noticed that each of the players on the Red Sox have their own music. Does that happen?
That, we cannot pull that one off. Only because out of all the teams and all the players, that would be a tremendous amount of work and time that unfortunately we don't have.
Okay.
But we do have some requests that happen a lot that we'll definitely play them in between the innings.
Okay.
So, and the best part is we get the coaches out there singing to some Bon Jovi on the field and dancing a little bit out there, too.
By the way, that's Bill Belichick's favorite group.
Yes, it is.
Bon Jovi. So, how do you all feel about participating in this tournament? What does it mean to you? And everybody can have a crack at this. And I'm going to have something for Nathan, too. Nathan has been a player, I believe, for 7 years. Is that what you said at the beginning?
Yep.
7 years? Okay. So hang on, we'll start with directly to my left. What does a tournament mean to each of you? How do you feel as a participant?
It makes you feel amazing. Honestly, it's a pretty selfless type of thing to do. I've been friends with Crystal for a couple of years now. Last year was actually my first year participating in the event. And there's a lot of work that goes into the event itself, but it really does affect a lot of people. And you don't realize the opening ceremony is a really incredible experience where Crystal brings in a lot of people from Community Autism Resources and a bunch of kids that are able to take advantage of their services down here. And you just don't realize how excited they are to be down at the field. So they don't get the opportunity to play baseball like the average child would get to play. So it's really great to see them down there. So that's about all I have. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. Okay, we're going to continue to go around to each of the participants.
For me, it's my favorite time of the year, and I know a lot of the people that are involved in it. During the year, we're competing, you know, even Rich and I, we're competing. We both coach, and our teams are competing against each other. We have disagreements, but when the tournament's going on, we're just one big team, one big family, I guess.
What's the name of your team that you coach for?
Well, I coach the Cardinals.
Okay. Is it just the Cardinals? Because I notice sometimes I'll see game highlights from the Little League on a community access channel, and they actually take on the names of the professional sports teams, like the Detroit Tigers or Boston Red Sox or something like that. So, is it just the Cardinals or?
Well, the teams in our league are all named after National League teams.
Okay.
But National, so.
Well, that's true.
So Richie's team is the Mets. You know, we also play against the Dodgers.
Oh, the Mets.
In our minor league, we have the Giants, the Mets, mm-hmm. the Marlins, and the Cardinals.
So, Richard, you're the coach of the Cardinals, right?
No, I'm the coach of the Cardinals. Rich,
okay.
Rich is the coach of the Mets.
Rich, okay.
So it is. It feels good to give back and see these kids out there doing things that we take for granted. It's nice to see it.
You know, like Tom said, the tournament time is definitely some of our most favorite times at Dumont. You come down and you get to see incredible baseball from so many talented teams. And the best part is they come down specifically too for this tournament because 100% of these proceeds go directly to Carr. 100%. And that's an amazing thing for a baseball league to do that. One of the things that Fall River National League prides itself on is we're not just there to teach your kids baseball. We're there to teach them about life. We're a family down at Dumont. A lot of things we do together. We do it outside of baseball as well. The board of directors is a very tightly knit group, and it's great to partner with Crystal and Carr every single year to do this great thing for Community Autism Resources. Again, it's our favorite time of the year.
And Crystal, as the individual who introduced the Fall River National Little League to Community Autism Resources and made that their charity, how does that make you feel?
Okay, I'm going to try to do this without crying because I'm already emotional because I get like this every time I have to talk about this stuff. So for me, outside of the work that I do for Carr, outside of being an active volunteer for Fall River National Little League for the past 7 years, I'm a mom first. And to see the outpouring of love and support that has been shown, not just for the cause, not just for the amount of money that is raised from the tournament, but towards my own son, is something that I honestly can't really put into words. But it comes down from the board of directors to the league's body members. I mean, these are people who go out of their way to say hello to Jaden. They include him in ways that I never really thought would happen. But, you know, like Richie said, it's a second family. You know, your family away from your family. We do things together outside of baseball. People go out of their way to invite Jaden to their children's birthday parties, or getting back into some of the tournament stuff, some things that have been done for Jaden over the years. A few years ago, a board member who is no longer at Fall River National Little League but still a very dear friend to my family, they made a decision to honor Jaden as a lifetime member of Dumont Field, of Fall River National Little League, and they had made up an all-star jersey that was the same as their team that they had put in for the all-star team. You know, with Jaden's name on the back, you have some coaches who, after that first year that my parents sponsored the Little League from their business, the Coffee Pot, the next year after that, we started sponsoring as JJ's Hope and Friends, which a lot of listeners will probably know us from our giant team that we have at the Walkathon. But, you know, we started sponsoring as well as a way to give back to the league for everything that they do for us. And over the years, coaches have, instead of putting their name on the back of their coach's t-shirt or just coach on the back of their t-shirt, one of Richie's coaches has Jaden's name on the back of his t-shirt instead of his own name. We've had umpires from the NBUA who were retiring. It was their last game. They were not ever going to umpire ever again at the tournament, who gave Jaden their last jersey that they were wearing that on that day. You've had some of the kids that come from all of these cities and towns in the surrounding area to participate that have given Jaden gifts. They've given him little dog tag necklace with their team name on it, or their coach's pitch counter. Or we had a kid a few years ago who gave up his trophy as a runner-up in the tournament to my son Jaden.
We've also had other teams come in wearing autism,
yes,
style uniforms, yep, too, for the tournament. We've had teams come in with the autism ribbons on their hats.
Yeah.
So they put a lot into this tournament. Other teams that come in that's been doing it for a few years, they come to this tournament specifically for this type of family, this type of camaraderie that we have.
I think it's really important to mention too, like what Richie said, these kids know exactly why they're there. And one of the major things when we had first started was I wanted to, I guess, target school-age children, kids that would be around my son, to expose them to people who are a little bit different than they are, so that way they could accept them for the way that they were. You know, I get a lot of the kids that will come up and they'll ask me questions about Jaden. Jaden is a nonverbal child, but if you ask Jaden for a high five, he'll go through a whole line of kids on these teams that come down and high five them all. Jaden likes to have fun, he likes to play, he likes to laugh, and I think it's really important that these kids, yes, they want to play competitive baseball, yes, they want to be in tournaments because they want to win trophies, but these kids know why they're playing in this, and I think that in itself speaks volumes for now, for these teams.
Is this explained all before the games, or is there a time before the tournament starts where the participants get to learn something about autism and introduce to, say, Jaden? Or does that happen at the tournament itself, or is there something that takes place before it? Or how does that awareness occur at the tournament, so to speak?
Well, when teams are registering and expressing interest in the tournament, I really put out there the charity aspect of it. It's not a normal tournament that you're out to, you know, win a tournament and a trophy. The real reason we're there is to raise awareness for autism and to raise money for these families and these children and adults deal with this on a day-to-day basis. We do have an opening ceremony, which I think, you know, maybe Crystal, you can talk about and how we kind of express what we're doing.
Sure. So this year, the tournament is set to start on a Thursday. So say on the Thursday and the Friday, there'll be three games played on each of those days, and we don't necessarily get involved in like the announcing or different things. It's more so like scorekeeping, and these games are getting played on those days. And then on Saturday, on both of those weekends, we'll typically be a pretty significant opening ceremony where we'll have representatives come down, whether it be the mayor of the city, or we've had someone from the school committee come down in the past, a representative from Community Autism Resources, to kind of talk about what Community Autism Resources is, who we are, what we do. I typically am not able to do that speech, so I have to have someone else come in. And sometimes it's at a point in time in that tournament where kind of you could hear a pin drop. Everybody is quiet and everybody is listening to what is being said. They want to know more information as well. And then usually whoever the tournament director is, Tom has been the tournament director for the last few years, he'll talk about the tournament. He'll also talk about Carr. And then they've allowed me to have Jaden's cousin Jerry, and some of Jaden's friends come down on both Saturdays if they wish to kind of throw out first pitches all together to kick off the tournament weekends. And we have tournament shirts made up that are for sale at the tournament, but we have special shirts made for Jaden and his cousin and his friends that have their names on the back of the shirts. I know last year one of the boys that was down to throw a pitch, he was having a tough time and his name was on the back of his shirt so everybody could see that. So they all started to cheer for him to encourage him to throw the pitch. I think it's emotional for everybody watching.
Nathan, now you've played for 7 years. How do you feel participating in this tournament?
I think it's so much fun to participate in this tournament. It's just so much fun to donate my time and work for a certain cause to help Community Autism Resources in the tournament. You know, I'm always assigned a job at the tournament. It's just a lot of fun.
Now, it was mentioned that everybody has a nickname. Do you have one?
No, I do not.
That's not true, actually. So Nathan, although he doesn't have a nickname, Nathan is part of the Little League Cardinals, and there are three Nathans. So he's just called Durand, which is his last name. The other Nathan is called Nathan Ninja, and then there's another Nathan that's just called Nathan, unfortunately. but yeah, no Komodo or Zimodo dragon for Nathan, but...
So when he's introduced, if he plays, if he comes up to bat, is he introduced as Nathan the Ram? Or?
So Nathan, unfortunately, isn't part of the All-Star team down at Dumont Field.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't need to be sorry. He's happy, actually, to not actually play on the field at that time. He likes to donate his time. He likes to be the person who chooses the next song. So he's sort of like the DJ at one of the fields.
Okay.
I have announced in the past, so we're sort of a dynamic duo there. So Nathan will assist me in picking a song, and I announce, you know, the Zimodo Dragon is coming up to bat. So he prefers to be the DJ.
And I think it's also important to know that if you do make it down to the tournament, in between games, sometimes in between innings, you may or may not catch Nathan dancing, possibly doing the Cupid Shuffle like I caught him last year.
That's true.
You know? The kids have a really great time. I think it's just a fun time for everybody. Everybody comes together for the cause. Everybody is raising money. They're raising awareness. But most of all, everybody has a great time there.
Is there any information that I did not touch on that you think people should know about this tournament?
I would like to add that, like I had mentioned about my parents' business, they sponsor the Little League. Something that the league allows us to do, in addition to obviously the registration fees that they're collecting from the teams that are donated to Community Autism Resources, 100% of their sales at their concession stand are also donated to Community Autism Resources. They allow us to come, and we set up two tents. So my parents set up their tent 10% from the coffee pot, sponsored by the coffee pot, where my mom will sell iced coffee, iced hot chocolate, which happens to be a fan favorite of pretty much everybody sitting in this room with me, hot coffee, some different types of snacks that are not offered inside of the concession stand, and my mother and father also donate 100% of the proceeds from their tent to the team, JJ's Hope and Friends, as part of this whole Batting for a Cause tournament. And then I come down with an autism awareness table where we sell your traditional autism merchandise, your magnets, your keychains, jewelry, different things like that. So I'm really grateful that they allow us to come in and do that too, to raise some extra money for the tournament.
And if you can give us some contact information, phone number, website, where can people find out more about this tournament and registration, so on?
Well, you can go to our league website at frnll.com. And you can just click on the Batting for a Cause tournament tab. It has the information packet. It tells you all about the tournament, the rules, registration forms for any team that's looking to enter or just interested in entering. It has my information. If you have any questions, you can contact me. It's in the packet. I do want to add that we do have a few special things that we started last year. We have a home run derby, a home run hitting contest, which is was a lot of fun.
It was
something
awesome.
That we added. Thank and you. It's yeah. really, you know, it's added as another way to, you know, add some fun to it. And it's sponsored by Dick's Sporting Goods, because every season starts at Dick's.
By the way, they're prominently mentioned on the website.
Yes, they are. They do help us a lot, and we appreciate it. So they give us the prizes for the Home Run Derby. We do have prizes. It's like we're earning cash. I mean, it's a $100 Dick's gift certificate for the first place winner of the Home Run Derby, $50 gift certificate to the second place winner, and $20 to the third place winner. So it's also a lot of fun. They can show what they can do, and they can win prizes doing it.
We also have the raffle.
Right. Again, we started last year. I have some donated prizes for the raffle. I have 6 cases of Samuel Adams beer. I have 4 tickets to the Providence Bruins. I have 4 tickets to the New England Revolution. We have an autographed baseball from Robbie Ross of the Boston Red Sox. We have an autographed photo from Evan Turner of the Boston Celtics. And we're also hoping to get a paddleboard donated also.
I had mentioned earlier about the tournament t-shirts. Typically, they have those on sale all of the tournament days, which this year happens to be 8 days. And usually they sell them one for $15 or two for $25. And they'll usually say 7th Annual Batting for a Cause tournament front left of the chest. And then on the back, there's a lot of times like just a sketch of a baseball field. It has the Community Autism Resources logo on the back. When we actually had quite a few parents from Community Autism Resources last year who were not able to make the tournament and sent checks in to have t-shirts mailed out to them, so I thought that was really nice.
Our theme for the t-shirts is going to be a patriotic theme, you know, red, white, and blue, mm-hmm. the stars and stripes. So we haven't designed it yet, but that's what we're thinking.
We've talked a lot about the mechanics of the tournament. We've talked a lot about the events itself, the ceremonies, the opening, the closing, the awarding of trophies, etc. Besides all the mechanics of the tournament, you must need more volunteers. How can people get involved?
We're always looking for volunteers, whether you can volunteer in the concession stand, or if you know how to score a baseball game, you could be someone who uses a book. Field maintenance is always something we're looking for as well. We can always use extra help. You can never have enough people. Many hands makes light work is, you know, what they say. So we're also looking for sponsors. Sponsors are great to help offset the cost of the tournament as well. Anywhere from, you know, the rental of porta-johns to providing baseballs for the tournament to actually use. There are specific tournament-type baseballs that are used during the tournament games that are different than a typical Little League game. And then there's overall costs of food, the concession stands, the drinks. There are people that donate their time freely, including the umpires that are part of the game. Maybe Rich can talk more about umpiring.
As far as umpires, we have members of the NBUA come down. They do a lot of the umpiring down at the autism tournament. We do have umpires come in also from other leagues as well. We have some of our umpires down at Dumont, and they donate 100% of their time.
Does it defray the cost of the tournament?
Yes. It will save Dumont $4,000 to pay those guys. Mm-hmm. And with them donating 100% of their time, I mean, they're out there in the heat, they're out there in the rain, they're doing that for free for this tournament, for the cause.
This just came to my mind, and it's the last question that I will ask, and that is, you mentioned about needing corporate sponsors or needing sponsors. Is there some kind of an ad program or something like that that you have at the tournament where you can mention the names and stuff?
Yeah, definitely during the announcing of the games at the opening ceremonies and then at closing ceremonies, like the Home Run Derby is sponsored by Dick's. You know, people giggled when they said every season starts at Dick's because that was actually repeated over and over last year during the Home Run Derby. So Dick's was very much a part of that speech. So it's absolutely a possibility to include corporate sponsors at different times during the tournament.
Well, I told you at the beginning that I was excited about this, and I've learned so much. As a person who does PR for Community Autism Resources, thank you very, very much for doing what you guys do for this agency. And I just want to remind everybody that A Presence on Your Journey is a podcast of Community Autism Resources. The music that we choose as our theme is written by George Winston. The producer and editor who does a lot of work on all the technical stuff is Nicholas Domain. If you want to hear this podcast and other podcasts of Community Autism Resources, go to our website, www.community-autism-resources.com. You can hear this podcast and you can hear all other podcasts that we have. We're also available on iTunes. If you have iTunes, you can go to the bookstore and do a search for Autism, A Presence on Your Journey, under podcasts, and you can subscribe if you wish. My name is Dennis Polselli. Until next time, thank you for listening.